Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.
Hafidades and Pierrot, welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Today we continue our discussion about Article 12 regarding land ownership in the Northern Mariana Islands. Our original discussion on this topic is being aired as a television program on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. on KSPN2. Today we'll be hearing some of the excerpts of our second show entitled Part 2, Today's Perspectives. Our guests are Lorenzo De Leon Guerrero Cabrera, Representative George N. Camacho, and Alex A. Sablon. Our moderator is Attorney Robert T. Torres. Part 2 looks at what is the definition of Northern Marianas descent, and what have been the positive and negative effects of Article 12 with respect to cultural preservation, the economy, and families and individuals. Now, please join us for part two of Article 12, Land Ownership in the Northern Mariana Islands.
Let's talk about Article 12 today as it encompasses the intent of Section 805. We'll ask ourselves in Article 12, just what is Article 12? And with that, we'll have Lolly Villagomez give us the brief history of that and explaining the incarnation of Article 12.
Section 805 of the Covenant to establish a Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands in political union with the United States of America provided the framework to regulate land alienation. The first Northern Marianas Constitutional Convention in 1976 had to implement Section 805 and did so in Article 12 of the Constitution. Subsequent amendments were made at the Second Constitutional Convention in 1985. The Constitution defines alienation of land, acquisition, permanent and long-term interests in real property, persons of Northern Marianas descent, corporation, and enforcement. Let's take a closer look at Section 4, Persons of Northern Marianas Descent. A person of Northern Marianas descent is a person who is a citizen or national of the United States and who is of at least one-quarter Northern Marianas Chamorro or Northern Marianas Carolinian blood, or a combination thereof, or an adopted child of a person of Northern Marianas descent if adopted while under the age of 18 years. For purposes of determining Northern Marianas descent, a person shall be considered to be a full-blooded Northern Marianas Chamorro or Northern Marianas Carolinian if that person was born or domiciled in the Northern Mariana Islands by 1950 and was a citizen of the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands before the termination of the trusteeship with respect to the Commonwealth.
So, returning to Article 12, here we are in our discussion now that we know what it says. So, gentlemen, Article 12 says is that Northern Marianas descent definition is a political definition. It's not an ethnic definition, and it talks about percentages of such Northern Marianas descent in land ownership. Let's discuss what is our understanding of Article 12 and what it means today. Alex?
As I understand the provision, you have to have, I believe, three aspects of being here prior to 1950 as a citizen of the Trust Territory. You must have 25% Carolinian or Chamorro blood line. So, and I believe there's one other, and it escapes me right now. But
what about someone marrying someone who's not from here? What is this Northern Marianas descent definition?
Well, the Northern Marianas descent provision identifies who the individuals are that can own property. if somebody was from outside of the CNMI prior to 1950, was not a trust territory citizen, does not have 25% Chamorro Carolean blood, they are considered non-NMD. So a person from the mainland, for example, who U.S. citizen, would be considered a non-NMD.
So you can be a U.S. citizen but still not own land.
Correct.
Larry, what about children? If you don't have children and you adopt a child who is not of Northern Marianas descent, how does that work?
According to the Constitution, children who are adopted by Northern Marianas descent, when they are of age, they can inherit land by her parents or his parents deeding portion or parcels of land to him. They can own land.
So if a Northern Marianas descent couple, if you will, Chamorro or Carolinian, they don't have any kids, and if they adopt an American or a Chinese national or citizen, or child of Chinese or Filipino descent,
That adopted child is qualified or eligible to receive land from his adopted parents or her adopted parents.
Would that child be of Northern Marianas descent, fit within the definition?
According to the Constitution, he will fit into that the definition of Northern Marianas descent.
Okay, so that's
But in practicality, we know that he does not carry or she does not carry any blood, any quantum of blood in her or his system.
Of Carolinian or Chamorro.
Yeah, but in light of the fact that he was adopted and he was he inherited the land from his adopted parents, and he's qualified and categorized as Northern Marianas descent.
So you don't necessarily need to be Carolinian or Chamorro to be of Northern Marianas descent.
Correct.
George, what if you have a couple that doesn't have any children, and they didn't adopt any children. Is it possible for the land to be lost if there are no Northern Marianas descent heirs?
And according to the Constitution, if a couple marries and one of the spouses is non-NMD, if let's say the husband is NMD and the wife is non-NMD, whether she's from the mainland states or whatever, if the husband dies and they don't have any children, the wife has full rights to remain on the property for the rest of her life.
But if that spouse passes away, what happens to the land? Where could it go, or where would it go?
I believe it would. Before that, she even has the right to sell the property if she wants to move back to wherever she originally came from, back to mainland United States. She has the right to sell the property, of course, to another NMD who the only ones that could own property. But if she remained on the property for the rest of her life and never sells the land, I guess it'll go back to the government.
It goes to the government. So that's what Article 12 is. That's what it's saying today, right? And what are some concerns or views on those types of definitions that have been crafted, Alex?
Well, with respect to the last subject, the spouse, I offer this perspective that I think it's inherently unfair where a couple put years and years of sweat and brow and toil to making their properties beneficial for their families, building homes, maybe building businesses, building apartments, and that the individual who is non-NMD would lose out because they have children. I think the idea behind the provision, in retrospect, I don't believe many people believe that couples would not have children. And so the idea was that the the lands would then get passed on to the children inevitably. And so I think it is inherently unfair that if they do not have children, if they do have children, that in effect the non-NMD spouse is treated as a glorified trustee.
So, thank you. And George, what about, do you think that there's some view that Article 12 is really seen as protecting Chamorros or Carolinian, but the definition of itself does not seem to say that. It doesn't say that at all. So why do you think that the ethnic flavor is being read into it when it does not appear to have been? It's only a political definition.
That's exactly right. NMD is very political. You have to fit into three certain categories, be a trust territory citizen, be here before 1950, be of Chamorro and Carolinian descent. It's a political definition, and
So, Larry, if it's a political definition, it's discriminatory, right? It discriminates against...
That's one of the provisions of the Constitution that, you know, a lot of us do not like. I don't think I would like to see that. If you're not an NMD, you don't have any quantum of blood flowing in your system that can be identified as NMD, then you're not an NMD. And by virtue of the fact that you get adopted into the family, does not give you the blood, because the blood cannot be injected into your system. Therefore, you shouldn't be categorized as an NMD.
Okay, George?
Yeah, Kenneth, I want to touch on the issue of adoption. When a couple adopts a child, they're not adopting a Chinese kid, or they're not adopting a Haole child. They're adopting a child to be as their own, because they cannot together make a child for whatever reason that they want to adopt, because they love this child and they want to give them all their rights and properties and whatever it is that parents own, they want to give it to the child. And the child is not a Chinese boy. The child is their own.
He's a Northern Marianist descent.
And should be Northern Marianist descent.
And so Alex,
so that's a political definition.
It's a political definition. And Alex, mm-hmm. on the why not restrict, why didn't we restrict it to persons of Chamorro or Carolinian descent? Yes. Why not do that?
Well, I think in the in framing the provisions of Article 12, that there was a lot of effort to not trample on the U.S. Constitution and its articles. And so while we lay out that there may be some provisions within the current article that deem to be discriminatory, they did very well, I believe, in dancing around our current U.S. Constitution and its articles to avoid the inference of discrimination.
So we find ourselves receiving Article 12 in its form and trying to make it fit as intended under Section 805 and the quirks, if you will, the
sure.
strange things in what it does.
Well, what it did as well is it disenfranchised many Chamorros and some Carolinians that may not have been here prior to 1950, who may have gone on to Guam for whatever reason, for economic opportunities, education.
Right.
A lot of our own Chamorro Carolinian people have been disenfranchised by that mere provision that they were not here in the Commonwealth.
So there were intended consequences and unintended effects.
Correct.
Well, let's then continue that. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll pick up the discussion and we'll go on to break, and we have some of the folks from our community sharing their views and asking questions about some of these sections in Article 12.
I think we have to change the Article 12 so we can have more investors. That's the only thing we can survive.
Well, I've been living here for 21 years. Okay, I've had a business here for 21 years, and I'm a little upset that I can't own my own home.
As a landowner, if you don't want to sell your land, then don't sell it.
We've been listening to a discussion today on Article 12 regarding land ownership in the Northern Mariana Islands, moderated by attorney Robert T. Torres. We'll be back with more of our discussion after this break.
Looking to expand your family library or perhaps in need of a unique gift from the Northern Mariana Islands? The Northern Marianas Humanities Council offers a varied selection of publications about the history, culture, and people of the islands. Many of these books are written with council support by Micronesian authors themselves. Stop by our office on Middle Road, Gualarai to browse our selection or visit our website at nmihumanities.org. That's nmihumanities.org.
Welcome back to Your Humanities Half Hour. We're focusing again this week on Article 12 regarding land ownership in the Northern Mariana Islands. Our discussion today is excerpted from a television program produced by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council that is now airing on KSPN2 on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. The moderator for our discussion is attorney Robert T. Torres, and our guests today are panelists Lorenzo De Leon Guerrero Cabrera, Representative George N. Camacho, and Alex A. Sablon.
Now that we've looked at Article 12 and its terms and language, let's talk about how is it working today? Where do we encounter Article 12 in our community, and what is our experience with it? Alex?
Let me take this from my perspective, a perspective that in talking about the last viewpoint of how Article 12 was brought into play with respect to its political definition. In the section-by-section analysis, it talks about, at that time, the CNMI having a cohesive social group. In large part, as we know, website that we established in approving the covenant and our constitution and the Commonwealth, that 98% of our populace was either Chamorro or Carolina at that time. Fast forward 35 years, we have changed in the landscape of our social cohesive group. I believe we've changed dramatically from that perspective, from the 98% Chamorro or Carolina. There have been a lot of our own people that have married outside. They're married mainlanders, people from Asia, all walks of life. And so I think that from that perspective, I'd like to offer that there's been a dramatic change and there needs to be a recognition that maybe things need to
change. Well, how's it working today then, if we're going to consider that question?
Well, I think in respect to the spousal aspect, with child or without child, I think the vast majority of our own people that are married outside have children. And so their spouse is not considered NMD with respect to the definition. And again, I think in large part that's inherently unfair that
okay,
they would put time.
How does it work in the market? Where is that manifested?
Well, I think in the marketplace, from my perspective, from the perspective that I offer, that we are disenfranchising a large generation in the Commonwealth by virtue of not having access to good equity in our property, if you will. Land alienation, because there's only a certain number of locals that can purchase property and nobody else, that has put an artificial ceiling on the values of our land.
What do you mean? The price of the land may be limited by...
Yes.
This restriction?
Absolutely. Limited by virtue of that only a certain number of people have the means to purchase property.
Okay.
And that we don't offer a global opportunity to sell
free market.
A free market.
Clary, how's it working in any other areas?
I think it's working rather great. And I say that because for about 5 years, the Northern Marianas, that's from 1988 to 1993, the Northern Marianas, particularly Saipan, saw an unprecedented number of real estate transactions. And thanks to Article 12, the majority of these transactions were lease. They were not fee simple transaction with claim deed, what have you. And to the dismay of the investors, they had to settle for lease. And our people gladly leased their land to the investors. They were for golf courses, their garment industries, and hotels, and other use. A good many of our people made money. And this money is invested in the education of their children, build a family home, build additional homes for every child in the family, and maybe a trip or two for the people that wanted to take trips. And thanks to Article 12, you know, when that lease is up, the grandchildren of these people is going to see that property back.
Okay.
They will have that property back, and they will benefit from it again.
So you're speaking to the, in Section 805, promoting the economic development.
In that particular sense, yes. Okay. They benefited, and regrettably, some people did not invest their money. Wisely. But for those who invested their money wisely, you've seen the improvement, the dramatic improvement of some of these families.
Okay, George.
Exactly. Article 12 has done its job, which the original intent is to keep the land ownership, land titles, in the hands of the NMDs. So you know, it's been more than 25 years. Like Uncle Larry said, at the end of every lease, this property will return the titles, the entire land, the property will return to those that are NMD, the original owners of the land.
Now, we saw the experience of the 80s and early 90s with a great market, and now we've seen the experience of the early 2000s to today of a bad market. And so, how about that portion of our experience so far with Article 12? How does, Alex, you're talking about how a bad market restricts the opportunity for higher prices in land?
Yes, I think in a snippet of time, in the late 80s and early 90s, yes, the Commonwealth did very well with leases. We had investors come here and lease land for $1,000 a square meter on Beach Road. And so, you know, those individuals, yes, they provided for an opportunity, a great opportunity economically for those individuals that had that ability to do so. But I would look at the aspect of individuals that have just single home dwellings or don't have single home dwellings in the Commonwealth. That in today's market, again, fast forwarding 20 plus years, that in the last 15 years, the economic opportunity for many locals has been dismal because we have not had access to equity through banking. There hasn't been good credit offered through banking.
What do you mean? Can you explain that?
Let me give you my perspective. I have a current mortgage. In the 90s, I was thankful that MPLA and the banks had an agreement and they were able to loan money so I could build my home. At that time, I was very young, had no credit, it was a risk. So I got it at a very high interest rate. Fast forward 20 plus years now, my station in life, my situation has changed dramatically. I make a little bit more money. I'd like to refinance that mortgage. I cannot refinance that mortgage. There is no refinancing in the Commonwealth available at a reasonable interest rate. Today's interest rates in America are 2.9%.
That's my question. So how does Article 12 affect that dynamic?
That affect, well, the ability for me to lower my monthly mortgage payments by about $500 or $600.
Because if a person with a free market, you can get more banks willing to loan?
With a free market, more banks would offer more what they call portfolios in their banking business.
All right.
Because it's not available, they don't.
All right. George?
Well, during the late 80s, early 90s, when the economy was booming, nobody really questioned Article 12. Money was coming in, and Article 12 was there in full effect, and it wasn't an issue. Of course, today, the economy is different, things have changed, but we don't necessarily need to remove Article 12. If it's regarding the banks, you know, we can amend Article 12 and extend the lease from 55 even to up to 99 years. I'm sure banks are more willing to, rather than a free market, to in order to find a compromise in the middle. We can still have Article 12, but extend the lease agreement to 99 years. Banks will be more willing and more open to towards that kind of market.
Larry?
It all depends on the You know, the banking industry is an industry that relies heavily on money. If there's money, they are willing to loan it to the people outside or any applicant. But if money is pretty scarce, then they loan it at a rate that is too high. Now, my experience working at the public housing agency here in Saipan for a good many years has always been unfavorable dealing with the banks. And the reason for that was, as I was told, was because of the restriction on the bank owning the property if they cannot take the property as a mortgage. So that they can give you the money to build up a home. Now, when we told them about the 25 years, they said it's not enough because the loan term is for 30 years. That's we have to stretch it for 30 years so that the people borrowing the money would have an easier time paying a monthly mortgage rate at a lower amount. Now, when we, in 1985, when we changed the constitution, the story is still the same. 55 years, they still are very tight with their money. It has to do with, I think like most everything else, it has to do with the supply and demand. If there's a lot of money and the demand is up there, I think the money would flow. If the demand is there and not much money in the bank, I'm sure they'll be very careful, or extra careful.
Let's focus a little bit on the perspective of culture in its different definition and forms. Culture in Article 12 and land transactions in the Northern Marianas. How is or is culture, you know, tied in, or how does it play into Article 12 and our experience here in Article 12 in the Northern Marianas? Larry?
Yeah. Earlier, Robert, I was saying something about the lease of land to garment industry, golf courses, and what have you. And most of them were for the maximum term of 55 years. Some of those leases are going to be expiring in about 30 years from now, and the family is going to go back, but unfortunately the man who owned the property is not going to be there. It's going to be the grandchildren who are going to be there. And I mention this because that's what culture is all about. In our culture, we live for our posterity. We work hard for our children, and in turn, when they become parents, they have to work hard and provide for their children too. We provide for their education, we provide for their dwelling, and we even provide for their sustenance in life. And we do that. We continue to do that even after they are married. We still do that to help them. And the land that you leased, you know it's not going to get back to you because you would have gone by then, but you know it's going to go to your niece, your grandchildren, or your great-grandchildren. And that's what culture is all about.
With
respect to the land, you know, our culture, we live for our posterity. We provide for our descendants.
Thank you so much for joining us today for our continuing discussion on Article 12 regarding land ownership here in the Northern Mariana Islands. We hope you found our discussion today insightful. We invite you to watch the full television program on this topic produced by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, which is now airing on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. on KSPN2. Today we've gotten parts of part two of the three-part program series, and next week we'll be taking a look at part three, turning our attention to the future of Article 12. Again, we hope that our discussion today will stimulate discussion within your community, within your family, your workplace, and the community in general. It's hard to cover the whole topic of Article 12 in just 30 minutes or a one-hour television program, so please, we hope you will continue to discuss this important issue on your own. This has been Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
This program was supported by a We the People grant awarded to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities or the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.